I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show, which is brought to you today by MTN Business. Visit mtnbusiness.co.za to learn more about their products and solutions, and we thank them for partnering with Tech Central to bring you these great interviews. Now, my guest today is CEO of a JSE-listed company called Foresight Holdings. This company has been quite below the radar, but it's been doing some interesting things in recent years, including moving to the main board of the JSE, and the investment community is paying attention. Tarsus Zitzke, welcome to the Tech Central Show. It's good to see you. Thanks for making the time.
Thanks very much, Duncan.
How long have you been CEO of Foresight for now?
It's now my fifth year.
Fifth?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we were acquired in 2018, 2019. You know, the board was replaced with a new board after the shareholders got together and did what they're supposed to do, and that is they can fire the board even if they don't like the color of the eyes, you know. So, and then I became the CEO, but I had to fix a lot of things, you know.
Yes, you inherited a bit of a mess.
Yeah, you know, the shares were.
To take us to, before we get into that, yeah. give us the backstory. You were the head of an accounting technology company or software company called, yes, Actech Systems for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
That was your baby. Did you found that business?
That started in 1994, November,
okay,
with the New South Africa. Up until then, I worked for Q-Data Consulting at the time.
Oh, yes. And Piet den Boer.
Piet den Boer. You know, he taught me a lot of things. I always say he was one of my mentors, you know.
Okay.
And I always thought I was an accountant. And he actually told me one day, you're not an accountant, go and do tests. And then it came back and, you know, that ink stuff where you must pick between a ballerina or a flower or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're a salesman. What can you sell? And then I started selling ACPAC.
Okay.
Yeah. So and that's where it started. And I went on my own, four people first year. And then Y2K came lekker for us, you know, mm-hmm. 94, 95, that 5 years.
Those were
years.
Boom times in the late 90s.
Boom times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to 40 staff. A very small company, but we soon became the biggest Sage partner in those days, ACPAC,
mm-hmm.
in Southern Africa and Africa, and we expanded into Africa as well with an alliance model. And then we were acquired by then in 2000 by Softline then, Ivan Epstein and Company.
Oh, yes.
And then we went out of there in 2003 again. And then just stayed on our own, and very soon we were 200 staff, adopted the Microsoft stack as well in 2006, you know, 7. And that really helped us through that whole economic downturn of the whole world when America got sneezed and the whole world, you know, got pneumonia or whatever. And,
mm-hmm.
And that's, and we just grew from there. And then we discovered the whole cloud world with Microsoft and Azure. But always innovation and development and enhancing the products, always being in the core of Actech Systems. And I was driving it myself. And mm-hmm. still today, you know, I'm the, last year I was named the Africa Innovator of the Year, whatever, award. So it worked out very well. And then we were looking always for, because we are information technology focused company at the time, you know, all the accounting systems, payroll, HR, CRM, all that stuff, that's the business solutions. And we always were sort of lacking that operational technology side. That's the engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And in the world, there was always this war. It's still on, probably, the war between accountants and engineers. You know, whose Excel is the correct? Okay. And then we started talking to Foresight, and they had the vision of converging OT and IT
mm-hmm.
with data, and that was the perfect solution for us. So we came into the group. And then, you know.
Yeah. So it was an acquisition. Foresight approached you guys. And
Actech and 100% acquisition, yeah. And then, they couldn't buy our cash part, and we settled for shares and stayed on, and eventually had to fix the whole.
Was it apparent when you did the deal with them that there were problems, or did that only come out later?
It only came out later. And, you know, when I started, acting on what went wrong, you know, I was thrown off the exco. And,
okay.
And then we just.
I remember there was a lot of corporate drama going on at the time.
Serious stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And we discovered a lot of things, you know. So there's still a case open against previous directors at the MPA.
Oh, wow.
So it's still there. So we made it. You know, our board said, you know, it's their duty to report it and make the case. But then we had to fix in a month and a half, you know, get the listing back. There were 2 years of audited statements. Previous owners that didn't produced books to be audited, you know.
All while listed.
All while listed, yeah.
How do you get away with stuff like this? Well, I suppose you don't.
Yeah. and the big thing was the people. Mm. I mean, how do you keep your staff and your talent in your organization if this stuff is in the press? And,
yes.
And then we re-strategized December 19th. Big bang kick off. First month of the year was January 2020.
Three months before COVID hit.
Yeah, just before that. And so we had a whole project, you know, 2-year rollout for getting everything aligned to this convergence of OT and IT. And I formed another cluster then called Business Environment. That's basically the bridge between the two. Mm-hmm. And that's where you pull the data together and modern digital enterprise. Then COVID came. And we actually went, the company was sort of a green color then. I always say like a green slimy color, like spinach.
like my jacket.
Not as healthy as spinach. And then we went blue, So turn into blue. And the colorful blue is really innovation. Mm-hmm. You know, green is growth. So it's also good. And then COVID struck. And then that actually, you know, I always say COVID was my best salesman ever. Because everything had to go offline, you know, real time, you know, working at the home, you know, modern digital enterprise that got born in with the hybrid work situations. And I mean that, I think somebody said one day that Microsoft, they put like 18 years of development into 2 years. And if you look today, they 240 staff, you know, in those days they were only over 100,000. So it was an exponential growth in the whole cloud industry and hybrid work. And if you look at the previous like 4 decades in IT, you know, the 80s was mainframes, you couldn't take your work home. The 90s was, you know, connectivity, you know, all the wide area networks and LANs and WANs and, you know, NT and all those technologies for people to talk. So the world got closer digitally. 2000, the internet explosion. 2010s was the mobile explosion, everything mobile. And then everybody said the 2020s will be automation, but more focused on automated cars and all the hardware side. And then COVID turned it into the automation of processes around people. And that's really what we're in right now. So we're in the middle of the 20s now, and the foundation is clearly laid now. So we've got hybrid work. You can see a lot of, when I was driving past West Bank building here on the way here, you know, they called all their staff back, you know, but I still say, no, it's hybrid work, you know. So you need the controls and the procedures now to actually monitor the offsite people that they're very productive, you know. So the answer is not to bring them back. The answer is to put systems in that can help them to assist. And this is where this whole new world of digital transformation is now, with all the co-pilots and the agents and the chat GPTs and all this stuff that's helping you. And the biggest thing that you get back with the automation is time for people, you know, that you really do what's valuable to customers, you know.
It should help
really
productivity, seems to be.
If you do every month the same spreadsheet, if you do it every month, it must be automated. Mm. You know, it can be automated. Mm. That's just a fact, you know.
I want to talk a bit more about AI and your current focus, but I just want to go back to the acquisition of your business.
Yeah.
And when did you first find out that there was a problem? What alerted you to there was a problem within this group? And maybe just take us through the timeline of events that occurred post that.
Okay. I think I was in a exco, and I started writing down figures, and I still do books. Okay.
Yeah.
So I fill up a book every quarter.
Okay.
And then I said, but we are the only ones making profit. What's going on here? You know, and then half-year results came out, and it was totally different from what the image that I got in the exco, you know. And then I started querying this. And I think that's where it started, you know.
Okay.
And then we delved more in, and we actually discovered, you know, that, you know, some of the non-execs was not independent enough, you know, previous companies that was brought into the group and all that stuff at PEs of 200, 300, you know, and the shares were cashed in, you know. And then guys earn out, companies that they acquired earn out that was just cancelled, you know, with no sense and stuff like that. So
So governance issues.
It's serious governance issues, and I learned a lot. At one stage, they actually asked me to become the CEO, and I said no. You know, I don't want to be that. You know, and then
you'll be the fall
evolved.
Guy.
Yeah. It just evolved in that because I think Foresight or Actic Systems had a lot of cash, and I think the guys were after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then luckily our agreement was structured that if we earn out, you know, you don't touch our assets and we will not, they actually had in their agreement that we cannot ask them for financial assistance. And then we changed it to, okay, both ways. Okay. So if I don't get yours, you don't get mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that saved us. So we had, that leverage on us. It was very difficult to get new, independent, board members, but then I approached, every subsidiary basically brought in one. And I think the biggest thing was that our board for the limited company that we established in November 2019, that the wealth of experience and to help us through this, but it was just, you can't describe it, that Herman Singh, for instance, technologist, and he kept us on that thin road. And he actually, the first time when the conference centers opened, I think it was like at the end of 2020 somewhere there was a gap where you could, have a funeral and a marriage or whatever for 100 people.
Okay.
Without going to
ridiculous
jail.
Rules, no. Yes.
And then we grabbed that and had a session, and he told us a thing that I still use a lot, And everybody asked him, but what will happen? What will happen? Because the COVID, when will it stop? Mm. And nobody know. You couldn't travel international and whatever. He had a famous quote that day. He said, "What's right will be left. Just do what is right and you will survive," And that's exactly what we did. We stuck by our strategy, changing the companies, closing down the stuff that doesn't make, sell it off or give, like the telco company, Digitata. They went out of the group
mobile games and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and data analysis and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
And cancelled the shares and then it just went back forward with BOT and IT.
Mm-hmm.
And then our distribution business, that's very big, selling all the, distributing all the services and all software of Microsoft and Sage and all the other guys, into Africa. So we've got over 1,000 partners now in Africa that we service, yeah.
Okay. But there must have been some pretty intense meetings around that time.
Yeah, no, it was lawyers,
Okay.
Yeah. So
lawsuit threats flying backwards and forwards. So.
Yeah, and I always think about that ad of the guy drinking whiskey and then he's saying, what was a hostile takeover like in the 1800s? And then you just see smoke and fire and guns and ships and then he would drink his whiskey and say, no lawyers.
When did you know? When was it clear in your mind that you'd got the better of this thing and it was going to be saved and turned around and it had a better future?
I think we kept the best companies. By that time we were in there for a year and a half, so we knew the guys very well, and also I think culturally, we were there to stay and go forward. And we got them all together on an exco, and we made the plans and said, this is what we're going to do. And it worked out, mm-hmm. So it really delivered and from 2021 onwards, it was double digit growth and cash and turnover and profits. I think we were one of the few, I don't know if there were other alt X companies that paid our dividends, but we did. And I think we did it also because to reward the, because 80% of the company, of the shares still owned by the original owners of that businesses today still,
okay.
So the free float's very low. But now that we started, we did an acquisition a few weeks ago of that HR payroll company.
X-Tech.
X4. And it's all about, so we've got exactly the same type of company in a business unit already,
mm-hmm.
but we want to double up that thing, because people is for the future, in my mind, the digital transformation and innovation around people is the most important thing that will differentiate people, businesses into the future, you know. So there's a big focus from myself, you know, on doing this. We call it A360, you know, a full 360 solution, innovation or automation of the processes around people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Foresight recently moved from the Alt X onto the main board of the JSC.
Yes.
Why was that important in your business's life? What did that signify?
I think in the last 3 years or so, we probably had quite a few bottles of wine to discuss whether we should delist or not. Okay.
Delist or not. Okay. Yeah.
And then, but I think the fact is that where we operate with customers, you know, they get a lot of security because of our good standing right now. Mm. So they can immediately see our financials and it's all open. And I think, you know, we don't have any negative things. We've got a simple balance sheet. We don't have debt. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got cash. We've got debtors and creditors and that's it, you know, and profit.
So it's really been cleaned up.
It's there's nothing funny there. And okay. There's some IP on stuff that we develop. And then we did the analysis on what will it cost. You know, it's always a costing as well if you move to the main board versus staying on Alt-X. And Alt-X is actually more expensive, okay?
Really?
Yeah. I think the cost is when you do certain things, you must get that independent, you know, evaluation or whatever, report, and that's R250,000, you know.
Yeah.
So on the main board, you know, there's more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So we updated our MOI as well, you know, Oracle's association. And, you know, that gives us that freedom as well. Like this acquisition as well, you know, it was a board decision and we go forward. Or our BEE level one rating, the way we structured it. I don't know if you've seen the...
I had a brief look at it before our discussion today. Yeah, but
so the feedback on that is very good, you know. So
yeah.
Somebody this morning wrote and said, this is the perfect way it should be done, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about that since you brought it up. To tell us about this BE transaction, what you've done exactly and why you believe it's significant.
Yeah, so we didn't do it at limited level, you know, on shares there. We did it in the first subsidiary holding, the FOUR site of company that holds all the shares in the companies that needed that. So the property company and stuff like that and our administration company that's sitting on the site. And we only did it where it's needed. So you need to do a valuation then on that FOUR subsidiary. And then in that, there's then that educational trust, Bonene Pele, that's our meaning moving forward, you know, like Foresight. And they actually then own 30% of that PTY. And then there's profits being, you know, cleared out to that that trust. And so we've got four independent directors there. And you'll see in the press releases that we did yesterday, the day before, that, you know, we took on Lazonia Primary School next to Diepsloot and installed a whole computer center, the IT center for them and the kids with Microsoft's help. And, you know, and we're really taking it to the ground level and bursaries as well at Potch University and Tukkies, you know, where we give the money to the university and not, you know, give it in the hands or the pockets of a student, you know, but really pay the fees of the students as well. And then we've got our own internship as well that we can run. So we're really going to take every single cent that we spend on that and put it into youth and you know, upliftment in information technology, because we need that. I mean, that's a, you know, we are seriously understaffed, you know, in talent.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we will get it right, you know, is to train people, help them get a better life.
Just give me an idea of what Foresight's clients engagements look like today. Are you mainly a consulting firm? Do you consult your clients on latest technologies like AI, etc.? I know you come from an accounting software background. How much of your revenue is product related? Maybe just give us a breakdown.
Yeah.
Where exactly Foresight sits into the IT ecosystem in the South African market?
Yeah, so probably half of our revenue right now is from vendors. I always call them the big gorillas with an O.
Companies like Microsoft.
Yeah, like Microsoft, Sage, you know, AspenTech, Siemens, all these guys that we work with. So we take their platforms and we add our own IP to that. And that's really where the innovation comes in the artificial intelligence. So in our website or wherever you see 4AI, and we don't really say Foresight Artificial Intelligence. That actually means Foresight Automated Intelligence, because business is never artificial. Okay, if you make a loss, it you can't say this was artificial. Okay, it happened. So automated intelligence is really, and I always say we take the customers. A lot of people. I was speaking to a board of a big company again last week. You know, and I asked them, how long is a board meeting? 3 hours. Okay, 3 or 4 hours. Okay, how much do you talk about the history, the past? 80% of the time. How much about the future? You know, 20% of the time, you know. And I said, that's wrong, you know. So you're looking, when your board meeting is happening 3 weeks after a month into a quarter or whatever, you know, you're looking at history already. So you've got hindsight, okay. Some people don't even have any insight, okay. So if you go from hindsight, you know, to insight, and then the process, and people don't understand how do you automate or how do you drive this digital transformation in a business now? Mm-hmm. And it's very simple. You need to digitize data. So if you capture an invoice today, you know, you digitize it, okay, on a system. If you write it in a book, it's not digitized. You can then scan it or whatever. And there's probably software that can read it. But then if you capture just the invoice and it's cash 01 account, what can you do? I don't know, you know, who bought from me what. But if you add value, then capture the guy's cell phone number, you know, put in the item number, address, street address, whatever. Then if you add value to that data that's fixed in your system, then, like for instance, you know, I was with my wife in the pet shop the weekend, and she bought a bag of cat food. Okay, and then this lady asked a cell number. I said, okay, this is Marie-Louise, yeah, you've got two cats, this is their names, you know. No, but the one cat died. Okay, bought back 5 kilo of cat pellets or whatever. So predictive analytics will tell that owner of the shop now, in 3 months, that bag should be finished, okay. Mm. So give her a WhatsApp or email or whatever, say, just click here and I'll deliver another bag to you. So that's to add value or process to that basic information, mm-hmm. and grow your business. And then advanced analytics will actually tell her now, based on all this data that you have, you will run out of stock, you know, every week. So you need to double up your stock holding because the lead time is 3 days from your supplier or whatever. And that's just the role of business. And if you think about the process that I just explained, you know, it's basic. That's the way we do business, you know. But brilliant basics, innovation is just brilliant basics. So put it now in a process and add value to all the data streams, and then you are digitally transformed, you know. And the big thing for existing businesses is that the new guy, you know, entering your space will have all these tools. And he will kill you because his input cost is so much lower. Mm-hmm. That's why businesses need to digitally transform in order to get their costs down to be more quick. And, you know, I always say, you know, you can be an elephant in the Kruger National Park or a cheetah, you know. yeah.
So a lot of companies in South Africa, I think, are looking at AI and saying we need to do something here, but I'm quite unsure about what they should be doing. Do you get a lot of phone calls from corporate South Africa saying, help, we must do this stuff, we must be seen to be doing this stuff, but we don't really know what to do?
If you look at I think the biggest thing that everybody, there's stats that saying that 80% say they're doing it, okay? But I don't think so.
They bought a Copilot license from Microsoft.
Yeah, and then the secretary is using it. Yes. But it's not really about the Copilots, but it's really to take that business and how will it grow your business. So the way that you're going to digitally transform a business is to focus on the five pillars of business, and I call it the DNA string of a business for digital transformation. First one is people. The second one is growth, you know, we recently started calling it stakeholders because it's customers, community, and vendors. Operations, very different in every business. You know, mine is different from a consulting to your business. And then finance, proper financial control. And the fifth pillar is innovation, okay? And it's all these tools and things. How are you using it to enhance the other four? So the people side, you know, if you just think of recruitment, where does it start? Okay, we need to fill a position. secretary, receptionist, whatever, engineer, software engineer. So there's a job specification. It's somewhere in the HR system. So the co-pilot can now design the advert for you. So you just give it a PowerPoint template mm-hmm. and say, this is the spec, and it will do a beautiful ad for you and give you a few options as well, you know. And you can add other ads in there as well that it can look at what other people are doing and the way it should be. So then you can publish it automatically, and there's tools to actually get it out there and track, you know, who clicked on it on LinkedIn or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that integration to software and systems is very important. And there's a term for that in AI called MMM, multimodal models, okay, mm-hmm. to integration. Then that job's got a number. And then the persons must actually click on it and email their PDF in, CV or whatever. But then the big thing is now, if you want a job with me, you know, fill in my form. So online, fill in, you know, you track exactly how long does this person take. Mm-hmm. Does he really copy it and paste it somewhere, you know, some answers or whatever. And then you can save, upload the PDF. And then also add your LinkedIn link, you know. So we can track now, the co-pilot will automatically now look, and this is going to be released in a few weeks from us, that this is your LinkedIn profile, but there's a job missing on your CV, okay? So the digital historical print is there, we can check it. And then the co-pilot will say, based on the job specification, these are the top 10 guys, okay? So this is where responsible AI also comes in now, is that if I use all the words in the ad, in my CV, I will end up on top, okay? But I want that guy because he's clever. He thinks that, you know, so he's a developer. So, and then automatically, so you can just think of people going through 500 CVs, you know. I mean, South Africa, I was listening to the stats came out on the workplace in South Africa. And
job numbers.
32% job people.
On the narrow definition, yeah. 44 on the expanded definition.
Exactly. So that you get CVs. I mean, the guy, they just mail it in and say, for any position, for any position, for any position. Mm. So you get that noise away. But now you can really actually keep CVs on record. You always get, if somebody is not getting a job, they get this letter back saying, thank you for applying, we'll keep your CV on record. But now we can really keep it on record and match it for a new position, okay? And then that evaluation happens. So you can think people sorting on face, you know, nice picture, yeah, put him on top. Mm-hmm. He was at my university, so I really like all the blue bullet or whatever.
Hired.
Yeah. So that's the opinion. And a co-pilot will never give you a decision. Mm. It's just a recommendation. But now I can say, this is top three candidates. I want to interview them. And it goes very quickly because you can be briefed in your Outlook diary that's actually created saying, these are three CVs in the morning in a car, you can say the co-pilot, you know, okay, just give me a brief on these three guys. And then make the decision, appoint him. And then the next step in HR is probably onboarding. And some people say, okay, no, you start the 1st of July, okay? So that guy, when he walks in there, he doesn't know a thing about your company. But the day that he actually signs the contract, now in May already, that's when onboarding should start, you know. Give him his email address. Tell him, you know, this is your program for the next 4 weeks. Watch these four videos. Or this is all the guys that you're going to work with. These are their LinkedIn profiles and their Facebooks or whatever. And Friday afternoon, they're having drinks somewhere there. And so the day when he walks in the company, he just gets his laptop. So he's onboarded already and you save the time. And this is where the technology will tell you that He watched this video, but he only logged in for 30 seconds, and the video was 12 minutes. Okay, so he didn't watch it. Okay, so that's the automated processes that's really there that's being developed now in, for instance, the HR space. Mm. Yeah,
how much of a problem is AI hallucination in these processes? I mean, when you deploy these systems, do you find that the AI sometimes just completely invents things?
No, true, depending on the sources that you give it. So luckily in business, the biggest thing, beginning last year, I didn't understand all this artificial intelligence and the way it's the developing. And then I did this course at MIT.
Oh, yes.
Called Artificial Intelligence for Business and Community. So they say, if you can say Massachusetts, you know, you get a diploma.
Yeah. Another one if you can spell it.
Yeah, otherwise, people, they just say MIT.
Yes.
And that really opened my eyes. So it's a six-week thing and you do tasks. And I did it actually on foresight, you know, on our recurring revenue model, because a lot of our revenue is recurring. And the revenue lost that we that you can experience in a business because you don't do things in time, you know, whatever, all wrong. And then the marketing streak to that as well, you know, that you can say, you know, this is a campaign, it's registered in the system. There's a LinkedIn post, you know, this guy that liked it or made a comment is not in the CRM system. You know, who's it? Okay, that do the data analysis and then you get him. And what I learned in that AI course was really the principles of how do you do it, you know, the basics that must be there. And the biggest thing is responsible AI and security, you know. So you can imagine, so you shouldn't mention salaries in emails anymore, you know, because if you open up email trial, any staff member can actually scrutinize it and see, okay, that's the CEO salary, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you must be very cautious in the way that you structure your data for security. But then business is not open to all the sources, like all the Facebooks and Wikipedias and whatever. Your domain is very secure. So your answers in business, you know, with the technologies is only on your own data.
Mm-hmm.
And
so as long as your own data is good.
That's
which isn't always the case, of course. Yeah.
There was a book written on mining the book's name is Don't Digitize Your Garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And a CEO of a mine wrote it. I got a copy recently. I must still read it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually gave it to somebody else and said, okay, just highlight the parts that I must see.
Feed it into an AI and ask for it.
But I think that's the big thing, is that business totally different from the open world outside there. I always refer to the student and our housewives and you know, those worlds, you know, mm-hmm. that they want all the stuff, and then they get, you know, fake news stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
But business is solid, you know. So, and the big thing is, you know, if I want a graph today on our HR system on demographics or whatever, it's just there. I ask the question and I get it. After I did that course, it ended, I think, in May last year. Then we had to release our integrated report for 2023, and I said, no, we want to do it different, okay? And then I said, okay, we want to release our annual integrated report with a co-pilot, Microsoft co-pilot. And we wrote a letter to the JSE, and after 2 weeks I said no. You know, we want the PDF and your auditor will sign, you know, that's it. But that's law. I mean, that's the facts. But we did both then, and we released our integrated report with a function in our office. Our four-ways office got a nice conference facility. And you can ask questions, you know, who's this? Who's this? What's the CEO salary? How many shares does he have? All that stuff.
Mm.
And we combined 4 years of history into that.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing then is, because every year is a bit different than the previous year. So maybe there's an extra line, revenue line in or whatever. So it can't compare all the years. So it cannot simply read the PDF that we published. So we had to put in tables and figures as well that it can calculate, you know, ratios and whatever as well, and look at that. So a number of staff and whatever, stuff like that. And that's where responsible AI comes in. So you can now go on our website, it's on the landing page, and say, should I buy Foresight shares, okay? So the answer is not yes or no, okay? So
okay, I was going to ask.
But it really gives you a good reason why we are good.
Okay.
And it's fact.
I must go and try that. What is what is your website address?
Foresight.cloud.
Foresight.cloud.
Yeah,
interesting address. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I'll definitely go and have a look at that. Before we wrap though, Tertius, I just wanted to come back to the acquisition that you did recently of X4 Group.
Mm.
What led to that deal? Why that company in particular? And does this signal the start of an acquisition strategy by Foresight?
Yeah, no. So I think this, there's a lineup. So we're looking. That's seriously what we're looking at now. So we're having a board meeting next week, so we must actually decide now whether we're just going for acquisitions now or maybe pay dividends, you know.
Okay.
But I'm in favor of just, you know, expand our base now. Not then our natural growth was very good, but now we need that, X factor, you know. And I think the big thing there was the talent, you know. These guys developed good technology on WhatsApp. They developed a payroll inquiry system so you can, for blue-collar workers, they don't have an email address like miners and whatever. Yeah. But they've got a phone with WhatsApp and they can say, you know, I want leave, put it in. I want a loan, you know. I want to my IRP5 or whatever. And it's there. And that's just brilliant basics. Look what Safir did on WhatsApp.
You know?
You don't. I deleted the app.
Yeah.
Because you just get everything on WhatsApp.
Your boarding pass and everything.
Yeah. Extra luggage, everything is there. You know. Yeah. And that's just brilliant basics. That's it. And I think it's the CEO that actually said one day, innovation is just brilliant basics where I copied it from. but that's things like that. And I think the you know, young people, you know, I'm 63 years old now, young now, but young people, they're not afraid. They fail forward all the time, okay? And we are a bit afraid still,
more conservative.
You know, no, show me three options, But they just say, let me try it. Okay, no, okay. But, and that's what you need today is that, you know, not fail with your customers, you know, systems and data, but really with the innovation side, you know, let me try this, different way. And the fact is that this generation, what are we getting now at Alpha, the new guys coming to work in 5-6 years, you know, they will not tolerate reply all on emails. That's the way we work, you know. There's a term the other day I saw a picture of reply alcoholism. We cure that illness.
Yes, it is a problem.
Different business must, for them, business must be just a button, red, yellow, green, red, yellow, green. And then if it's applicable to them, they will look, you know.
What's your thinking around, just take us through the X4 group. I think you did disclose the value of that acquisition. Was that a share or a cash deal?
Yeah, it's half-half.
Half-half,
yeah. Earn out only 1 year because I want those guys in production with me that I can really go forward. 3 years, they pledge their shares, you know, so they can't move on the shares in 3 years' time, the three directors. And so we secured that. So half cash will be paid. They will get half their price, close to 40, you know. And there's also a carrot, you know, if they do better, they get more, yeah.
Okay. And will that be your model for acquisitions going forward, a mix of shares and cash?
Yeah, no, we had good feedback on that. You know, there's some analysts that said this is the way acquisition must happen.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's a perfect blueprint. And yeah, like LBE deal as well, you know, it's, you know, I think, you know, we always say, you know, what's the answer? What do we want to achieve? You know, and then we work back. You just do the sums, you know. And if we get to the answer again, then the answer is right, you know. So, and test it on that.
Your balance sheet and your share price, though, what is it going to allow you to do in terms of deal size?
Yeah, so I think we're in a closed period now, so I can't say anything what's in the books now.
Sure.
Okay. So previous, I think financial stated we've got 110 million cash.
Okay.
So we're using like 20 now. But then there's scope, you know, so, and we want to do shares, not only cash deals. So the people must be in here for the long run and they must feel that they are really at home, you know, so, yeah.
And I know you said you've been having some discussions about your dividend policy. What has your dividend policy been up to this point?
I think it was just ad hoc, you know, like I said, you know, AltX, you know, was not really into dividend paying.
Okay.
So we did it twice. So we must now say, okay, if you pay that money out, you know, okay, then we earn less interest. But what can I do with that money? So let's buy another X4, you know. And it's my job to take that company's 50 million rand turnover and make it in 2 years' time 100 million, you know.
And hopefully down the line there'll be a much bigger dividend
exactly
than what was what could have been paid now. Tertius Zitzke is a CEO of Foresight Holdings. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.